if the child gets old enough to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then they get to the Galatians 3:13 and 14, and they believe that, then the child can be healed. See, that's exactly what happened to Dave. See, Dave wasn't a child anymore. Dave was 40 years old when he came here. But he had this eczema that he had had all his life. His mother had it. His grandmother had it. It was a curse. And I told him it was a curse. And I told him, if you'll do everything I tell you from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. Well, for that to work for him, he had to be his own man now. He had to be his own child of God. He had to know the promises of God and stand on them, because in the 20 months it took for Dave to get well, when he came to me and said, Pastor, why did it take so long for me to get healed? I said, well, Dave, I really don't know. I said, only God knows that. And so I said, if you will petition him, I believe he will tell you. And of course, now Dave is in church every Sunday. I mean, you know, he's in Bible study during the week, you know, and he spends a few minutes, not every day, but he spends a few minutes in the Word. And when he went to the Lord and began to say, Lord, why did it take so long for me to get healed? The answer he got from God was not what he expected. The answer he got from God is, Dave, I don't know who you are. He said, Lord, I go to church every Sunday and I tithe. The Lord says, I know that. I'm there with you. I know exactly what you do. But he said, Dave, you and I have no intimacy. He said, you don't spend any time with me in the Word, maybe 15 minutes a day. So you don't know who I am. He said, well, Lord, how much should I spend? He said, well, a tithe would be a good start. 2 hours a day would be a good start. He said, Lord, if I'd have been spending 2 hours a day in the Word, how long would my healing took? He said, it would have been very quick. Now, isn't that something? But you've learned all those lessons since then. It pays good dividends to pray and to ask God, right, Dave? You learn. I mean, but see, I remember Ed Brock. Ed Brock, I mean, in 1986, this young man, he was a member of Lakeland Baptist Church where I went. He was in Sunday school. When I went by in the morning, I saw Ed every Sunday morning. I mean, at worship service, he was always there. His wife, Ruthie, she was one of the most precious little ladies. They'd been married 20 years or something like that, 20-something years. And they were wonderful people. And if you'd asked me, who is one of the most faithful men in Lakeland Baptist Church, I'd have said, Ed Brock. I mean, Ed's a great man. I mean, he's in church every time the door's open. I only see him on Sunday. You know, the rest of the week I do something else. And he does something else. But every Sunday I see Ed. Now, I see a lot of people that come to church that's not there every Sunday. You know what I mean? There's very few people that are in church every Sunday. But Ed Brock was in church every Sunday. And then at 42 years of age, Ed Brock put, and again, Ed took care of his body. Him and Ruthie rode, they had a two-seater bicycle that you could see them all over the country riding that bicycle. I mean, I bet you they rode that bicycle several thousand miles a year. And when that couple walked down, you look at them, she was slim and trim, and he was fit, you know. And when he had a short sleeve shirt on, his muscles were showing. He was a healthy dude. And you talk about eating the right stuff. Man, they wouldn't eat no junk. They wouldn't drink no junk. They took care of their flesh. But at 42, Ed Brock comes down with stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. At 42 years of age. I got in from that trip that Wednesday night. When I got in, I walked in my house. My wife said, honey, Ed Brock has just had exploratory surgery today. And I think you need to go see him because I don't think he got a very good report. So I drive back down to the hospital there in Louisville. And I find his room, and I walk up and knock on the door, and Ruthie comes out, and I said, Ruthie, how's Ed? And she said, Thurman, he's no good. They open him up today. He has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. You know all about that, don't you, Weston? You had the same thing. And so, anyway, whenever she told me that, the Lord spoke, yes, sir?
That's incurable.
That's incurable, yeah, that's right. It is incurable. I know, that's what they said. Just like they told you, yours was incurable too. But with God, there ain't nothing incurable, is there, Weston? No, everything's curable with God. So anyway, you know, when she told me this, I heard these words just as clear as I'm hearing my own voice. Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. I heard that. I said, wow. So I prayed with her, and I walked down the corridor going home, and I remember looking up at the ceiling and said, God, you didn't hear what Ruthie said. She said he has terminal cancer, Lord, and he can't get well. I could just see God smiling and saying, if you ever get a hold of who I am, you don't have a clue who I am. And that's where I was. In 1986, I didn't have a clue who he was. I couldn't have prayed the prayer of faith for a fly, you know. But if you'd asked me, do you have faith? Of course I'd have said, oh yeah, I got faith. I'm a Baptist. Anyway, whenever Ruthie told me that and I left and I went home and I said, Lord, I know on the way home I was driving my pickup and I said, Lord, I know you said test every spirit. And so I said, Lord, I know I heard a voice that told me to tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray for him and you to heal him. But I said, Lord, I've been in a Baptist church since I was 0 years old. I mean, my mother carried me to church for 9 months before I got born. I said, but I've been in a Baptist church all my life, and I've never seen anybody prayed for in church, and I've sure never seen nobody healed, and especially not of terminal cancer. So I said, Lord, I got to have something in your word that confirms what you said. Well, I went home that night and began to look up under healing, and when I began to look up things under healing, I come to this wonderful promise in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. Now, you know, James 5, 14, 15, 16 is a guarantee from God to heal anybody in the church. You know, anybody. Now, look at this wonderful promise in James 5, 14, 15, 16. Are any among you sick? Well, I mean, first of all, who would that include?
Everybody.
Are any among you sick? So, I don't understand what's wrong with us. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church. Well, maybe we don't have any elders. Maybe we're all teenagers. There's something wrong, isn't there? We should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the name that we anoint people. And their prayer offered in faith. Now, see, there is a real kicker. Because we pray in unbelief a whole lot more than we realize. We have not been taught how to pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is, be healed in the name of Jesus. Guarantee you're healed, woman. Now see, that's wild and violent and all that good stupid stuff, but that's the kind of prayer Jesus understands. Oh God, if it be your will you please heal this girl, Lord? And all that crying and all that stuff and everything else. And God says, that makes me sick. You know? I'm a faith God. He said, don't come to me like that. You come and do something in faith and I'll show up. And that's what he does. But he says there, and the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well, and anyone who has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Is that an awesome, awesome statement? It's written in your Bible. And it's real. The prayer of faith will save the sick. So anyway, I found out that night. I thought, wow, this is awesome. And then I heard the enemy speak to me audibly. I only heard his voice twice in my life, but this was one of them. I said, Lord, that's what I heard you say down at the hospital. And then I heard, oh, that was just in your subconscious, and it just came up. That really wasn't God speaking to you. So now then, since I've been raised in a church that never taught me the principles of faith, I literally think I'm losing my mind. You know, I'm hearing voices. You know, most people, they say, when you start hearing voices, let's lock you up. Let's carry you down to the funny farm, you know. That's what they say about you. So, do you think I told anybody about this? No, absolutely not. Not even my wife. You know, nobody. But that was the fourth time I'd heard the audible voice of God, and the first time I'd heard the devil's voice. Actually, the second time. That was the second time I'd heard the devil's voice. So finally, Sunday morning, when we woke up, I told my wife that I said, you know, I said, I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but I said, I have been hearing God speak to me. Well, she said, what's he saying? I said, well, this last Wednesday night, he spoke to me in front of Ed's room and told me to go tell him to tell the men, call the men to pray over him, and he'd heal him. Well, she said, well, good grief, if God told you to do that, let's go do it. And I thought, I'm hearing the voice. She ain't heard it. Thank God for good women. You know what I mean? I mean, when the Lord says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Praise God. You know, it's wonderful to have a good wife. And when you got one that's spiritually on fire like Cheryl is with me, that's really a great thing. You know, when you got a spiritual wife, man, when you're equally yoked and you're equally yoked in spirit and faith, boy, it's a wonderful thing. And I don't think very many people have that. I know that Betty was not spiritually equally yoked with me in the last 10 years of our marriage. I mean, she was a great Christian woman, loved God with all her heart, but she never walked where I had the privilege to walk. And but Cheryl does, you know, so that's when she got killed, God brought me one that would walk with me and go with me and pray with me for hours, just like I told him. I said, Lord, you know, I don't think I want another woman. But if you got one for me, she's got to be an on-fire woman of God. I said, I don't want another one that won't go with me. You know, I want one that will really, you know, be tuned in with you just like you've brought me. I want to know. And so he did that. But with Ed, whenever I went over there that afternoon, we went over to, and told him about what the Lord had told us. He thought I was crazy. You know, he said, Thurman, I've been in church all my life. And here he is reading this out of the Bible. He said, Thurman, I've been in church all my life. I'm 42 years old. He said, I've never heard that verse taught on. I've never seen it in a Sunday school class. Nothing. He said, I've been in church all of my life. And I've never heard that verse taught on. And I thought, wow, what a shame. But I told him, I said, Ed, I didn't know it was in there either. I'm a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church, and I don't know it's in there either. I said, so maybe they're like me. Maybe they don't know it's there. And then I finally told him, I said, well, Ed, would it help if I told you that God spoke to me and told me to tell you to do that? He said, you're telling me you heard God speak to you? I said, yes. He said, Thurman, you must really think I'm crazy. He said, I don't believe God speaks to us nowadays. Well, that's where we live, you know, so I'm sorry. So I said, okay. So I just kind of prayed for him and went home. And, of course, over the next few weeks, you know, Ed got weaker and weaker. And then he finally, I went to see him every time. And he finally did get in the Word. He finally did call us Monday night, 3 weeks later. And we did pray over him. And over a six-month period of time, God completely healed Ed Brock. And Ed Brock's still alive today. That's 1986. He had incurable terminal cancer.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, All Things Are Yours, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Where you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.